I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach today and to share in the word of the Lord. We love our church. We're talking the last few Sundays in that series, I Love My Church. We love our church, and I honestly believe that everyone needs a community of faith that they can belong to, that they can be connected to, that they can do life in and experience, you know, the highs and the lows and the ins and outs of life and the challenges, the difficulties, some of the things that happen to all of us, because life does happen to all of us. David was exactly right that it rains on the just and the unjust. But something powerful about the church. You realize today that life change happens here. It happens in this house. There are miracles literally every single week. I was telling someone just in the last few days, I said, there are just some incredible things that God is doing in our church. And it's things that it's not things you put on video. It's not things that you hand someone a mic and they say, well, let me tell you about what God, it's some deep and some unbelievable things that God is doing for people. And it's awesome and it's incredible. And just know that when you walk through these doors on any given Sunday, when you randomly select a seat or when you go and glare at somebody who happened to sit in yours without realizing it was yours, whatever happens, you just know that you're worshiping among miracles. You're worshiping beside people who have been blessed and who have been helped, and people who have been strengthened, people who have been delivered, people who have been set free. And so today is special. It is Pentecost Sunday, as Elle was telling us here a few moments ago, as our worship team sang about in the course of our worship time. We are 50 days beyond Easter. That's when Pentecost happened. That's when Acts chapter 2 happened. It was 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection. This is the birth of the church. These are our roots. It is our foundation. I plan to stick to our roots. I plan to stay with what has brought us thus far, what has carried us through every challenging season, what has helped us in the midst of every dark night. Is anybody thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that comforts us and helps us and encourages us and lifts us when we need it? It's all about an encounter. It's all about being in the presence of the Lord. And I want to visit an Old Testament story today that has been in my spirit for a couple of weeks and just kind of preparing and sharing in this series. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to ask you to do something different today. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word. I don't always read the text ahead of time, but I'm going to read this today in your hearing, and then I'll come back and unpack this just a little bit. But 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning at verse number 3. Now then, what do you have on hand? David is talking to the priest. What do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, whatever you can find. But the priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women. Look down to verse 6. So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Verse number 8, David asked Ahimelech, who was the priest, don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent. The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David comes in, and I'm going to explain why David was there and why he was living in such urgency. But he asked Ahimelech, the priest, he said, I need bread. I need nourishment. I need something to get my strength back. Do you have any bread? And the priest said, "I don't have any ordinary bread." I want to tell you today that I do not have anything ordinary today. I don't have an ordinary sermon. I don't have an ordinary message. This is not an ordinary church. It's not ordinary worship. Everything about today is unordinary. And something tells me that you do not need anything ordinary. You don't need same old in your life. You don't need just another random Sunday where we just come together and, well, that was nice, or that was sweet, or they sang that song well, or that sermon, you know, that was all right. No, I need something unordinary. I need an unordinary miracle. I need an unordinary breakthrough. I need some unordinary healing in my life. Is there anybody in this room that says, "I don't want anything ordinary"? Father, I pray that you would bless your word today. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would give us hearing ears and an understanding heart today, that you would allow us, Lord, to break past every hindrance, every distraction, every challenge, everything that would try to eclipse the power of this moment and what you desire to do in our lives. Speak to us today. We'll accept nothing less, Lord, than the unordinary today. I receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you today as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. To say that David is a complex man would be an understatement. David is complex. David is unique. David is challenged. The truth is, there is complexity in all of us, but David puts his on display. He is open about it. He is honest about it. It is raw at times, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that David is in the Bible. I'm glad that David is so honest about his struggle. I'm glad that David is so raw sometimes in his complexities, because it encourages me. It gives me hope. Lets me know that somehow in all of my complexity and somehow, in spite of all of my challenges, somehow, despite all of the circumstances that cause me to stumble here and there, somehow I can make it. Because while David's highs are high and while David's lows are certainly low, somehow he continues to keep God in view. Am I describing anyone in the room yet? No matter how much he struggles, no matter how many difficult days he has, no matter how many challenges he may find himself in the middle of, somehow David can always get back into the presence of the Lord. That's why I need to encourage you. No matter how difficult your Monday through Saturday is on any given week, get yourself up and get into the presence of the Lord. Begin your brand new week in the house of God. Keep coming to church. Don't let the devil put you away somewhere. Don't let the enemy cause you to think you have to live lonely or live isolated or live in shame somewhere and not be around people of faith, because everybody in this room is struggling with something. Everyone in this room, they may have dressed it up. They may have put some makeup on it. They may be smiling in spite of it. But everyone in this room needs the same God that you need. Everybody. Just make somebody on your row feel better. Say, me too. I need him. I need him just like you need him in your life. So David is running from Saul. He's running from Saul. When you meet him in 1 Samuel 21, David is running for his life. Saul wants to kill him. He's made it known. He's put the order out that David is to die. And that's messed up in and of itself, because Saul is his father-in-law. Saul is his mentor. Saul is his advisor. Saul is his king. And still Saul wants to kill him. Ultimately, it is jealousy. It is jealousy of David, because David has always been anointed king, beginning back at boyhood, but he's been in this process of maturing and becoming, and God establishing him and rooting out his character. David is going to be king, and Saul knows there is nothing he can do to stop it. And so he is jealous of David, and he thinks, if I kill David, then I can kill God's plan in his life. So now that David is on the run, he finds himself in crisis. He's in distress. He really doesn't know who's with him, and he assumes that everyone is against him. In another chapter or two, there are going to be some mighty men that are going to find him. There's going to be those that are going to gather in a cave with him and say, David, where you go, we'll go. We'll fight with you. We'll fight till the death. But David doesn't know those men are on the way. David is all by himself. David is in distress. David is in crisis. Everyone is against him. And in the midst of all of this, while feeling everything that I've just described to you, while feeling everything that's going on in his life, David goes to church. I love my church. While David is struggling, while David is wrestling, while David is processing, while David is fighting all kinds of emotion, David goes to the house of the Lord. Because sometimes you just don't know where else to go. Sometimes you just don't know what else to do. I know some came because it was just the right thing to do. And some came because you live alone and you get tired of being alone. You want to come where there is a room full of people and you can share a few smiles and exchange a few hellos. And some come because they're single and they're looking to mingle. And some, you know, we come to church for all sorts of reasons. But then there are the rest of us, the rest of us that don't have a good excuse, the rest of us that don't have a good reason, the rest of us, we had no choice. We had to get up and come to church this morning, because if we don't, we'll lose our minds. If we don't enter in to the presence of the Lord, then everything starts running off the rails in our lives. I don't know where the rest of us are, but if you're like me, I didn't have a choice. It was get up or go crazy. It was worship or worry myself to death. It was give or I don't know what. I've got to be in the house of the Lord. Does anybody else feel like I feel today? Have no choice, because life was flipping and mess was multiplying and the marriage was broken and the kids are in chaos. So take me to church. I've been everywhere. I've tried everything. I did this and went to that. Nothing satisfied. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need something that works. I need something that makes the difference in my life. I don't need a church that looks like it works. I need a church that works as advertised. That means if we're going to tell people that there is healing here, could someone please get healed? If we're going to advertise that this is an atmosphere where people can be delivered, could someone please be delivered? If we're going to tell people that lives and marriages and families and hope can be restored, then come on and let God do all of that in your life, because that's the kind of church that I need. Does anybody else want that kind of church where the presence of the Lord is awesome and powerful and life changing? That's what I need. I don't need a church that just looks like it works. Programs and a beat and poems and feel good. I want a church that works. And so David comes into the church. But complex David is telling a story. The priest is asking him, Ahimelech says, why are you alone? This isn't normal. David does not travel alone. He's got a couple of servants with him, but normally there would be, a gang of soldiers and an entourage, if you will, simply because of who he is in the kingdom and because of his proximity to Saul. And so Ahimelech knows that something is off. He knows that something is not exactly right. Something is amiss. And he asked David, why are you alone? And David believes he's protecting Ahimelech, the priest, but he's ultimately going to get the priest killed because of the story that he tells, because of the aid that Ahimelech renders him. It's political. It's not kind. It's a message for another time. Why are you alone? And David says, I am empty. I'm empty. I left. He's telling a story. I left on a mission for the king. I left in haste and I didn't have time to gather provisions. I didn't have time to get supplies. I didn't have time to prepare for this journey. So I'm wondering what you have for me. You see, crisis will confuse you. Crisis will confuse you. That's where the complexity comes from, because you begin to wonder which way is up. You're not sure where true north is anymore in your morals or in your values or what is right or what is wrong. And you start living fast and you start living loose. Somebody needs to hear me today, because a COVID season will get you twisted in your thinking. A pandemic will create problems, spiritual problems in your life. And all of a sudden, David realizes he is empty. He is empty. He is empty physically. He is empty spiritually. He is empty emotionally. David is empty. And so he asks the priest, do you have any bread? Give me 5 loaves or whatever you can find. This is why I love David. I love him because he knows he cannot live on empty. David knows that he is making a mistake. David knows he is living reckless. David knows that he is in danger zone by living on empty. He knows you can't do it. I hope you know. I hope I know. I hope our families know that we cannot live on empty. Because the truth is, we'll never break the habit on empty. We can't conquer our enemies on empty. We'll never get the marriage back on track on empty. We'll never outrun the pool of the world on empty. That's why I came hungry today. That's why I came needing something from the Lord today. I need bread in my life. I need spiritual food in my life. And that's what the priest tells David. You need bread? You're looking for 5 loaves? I don't have any ordinary bread. Looks like you came on the right day, David. I don't have anything ordinary for you today. Nothing basic. I have nothing just casual today. I have nothing in the shape of an appetizer. Nothing in the shape of just getting you by. I have nothing ordinary for you. You remember Peter and John when they were going to the temple in Acts chapter 3? And there was that man who had been laid at the gate called Beautiful. He had been laid there day after day after day. He was paralyzed. He could not walk. He could not maneuver himself. And he looked at Peter and John. The Bible said expecting to receive something of them. And Peter responded to him essentially saying, I have nothing ordinary for you. Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, let me give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. I have nothing ordinary for you. Ordinary would be me putting a coin in your cup and getting you by for another hour or another day. Ordinary would be me putting a band-aid on the wound in your life and just telling you to run along and try to figure it out in your life. I don't need anything ordinary. I need something unordinary today. I need something that fixes, something that heals, something that solves, something that brings peace in my life, something that fills me up again. I've got nothing ordinary for you. Not you, not you, not you, not you. Not our guests, not our members. Front to back, right to left, stage to sound, lobby, church kids. We have nothing ordinary. There is nothing ordinary about the move of God happening in this church. Nothing ordinary. You see, what God has for us is over and above. What God is doing and what God wants to do is supernatural. You see, we're conditioned to look for crumbs, enough to get by, coins in our cup. Instead of the loaf of bread, that's what that woman said. Lord, just give me the crumbs. I'm conditioned. I've lived in a place of begging for so long. I've lived in a place of less than for so long that I've learned to become satisfied with just crumbs. If I can just get a bite, I know I can survive on that one bite the rest of the day. If I can just get a piece of peace, if I can just get something to last me for a moment. I live from temporary to temporary. I live from crumb to crumb. And Jesus said, wait a minute, the bread is for the children, the bread are for those who believe, and you are worthy to have an entire loaf in your life. I'm wondering when you and I will realize that we are deserving of a full meal. I'm wondering when you and I will realize that we are deserving of all and everything that God has available. I'm wondering when you and I will come to the realization that God wants to bless us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, and not just me, but my house, my wife, my kids, my business, my house, even my dogs can get blessed in this move. Does anybody know who God is and what God wants to do in your life? Does anybody know it? You ought to throw your head back and shout, yes! It's Pentecost Sunday. Y'all didn't expect me to be Baptist today. Do we even understand who we are or what we have or what is available to us, that God wants to do something extraordinary in our lives. He is inviting us to the extraordinary, to the beyond, to full plates. All I have, the priest said, is the bread of presence. Such an interesting word. Such an interesting term. All I have is the bread of presence. But you don't realize it, David. That's the bread you actually need in your life. Some of you are wondering which counselor to go to. Some of you are trying to figure out what book to read. Some of you are trying to figure out through your context which friend you need to talk to. And I hear the Lord saying, what you need is my presence. You need to get in my presence and let me do a work in your heart. You need to get in my presence and let me do a work in your mind. You need to get in my presence. Does anybody want to be in the presence of the Lord? Oh God, have mercy. I feel the presence of the Lord. That's why we've been feeling what we've been feeling around here the last few weeks. If you're our guest, I apologize. Like I say often, come next Sunday and everything may be a little different. But for somebody in this room that needs a miracle in your life, somebody that needs a breakthrough, I've got to have the presence of the Lord. It's all I have, David, is the bread of presence. Got to have the bread of presence. Why is that so important? Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is everything I'm looking for. In his presence, there is everything I need. In his presence is what will fix and heal and deliver and set me free. Lord, baptize us in your presence. But help us realize that we got to do something to cultivate your presence. Lord, have mercy. I don't want to jump a rabbit trail. I'm trying to watch my time careful and close today. But please, church, let's don't be spoiled. Let's don't be spoiled kids that sit down at the dinner table and just bang our forks and say, Where's my food? Well, where are your pots and pans? Excuse me, where is your microwave? Air fryer, toaster. I don't want to just come in on Sunday after I've lived however I want all last week and just got my bib on, I'm set up at the table and just waiting on somebody to serve me. Come, Jesus, and serve me. No. I want to set the table. I want to prepare. I want to boil the water. I want to get ready. I want to wash my hands. I want to get fresh. I want to get in the presence of the Lord and help cultivate the atmosphere. Help prepare the moment. You know food tastes better when you've helped prepare it. You know the experience is better when you've contributed, when you've made an effort, when you've given an offering toward the thing that is going to bless you. Lord, have mercy. I feel like preaching on this Sunday to somebody that all you need to do is help stir what's in this pot. All you need to do is help season what is in this pot. All you need to do is help blow on what is in this pot, because the presence of God is going to be the miracle in your life. That's all I've got. Is the bread of presence. And there's nothing ordinary about this. And I love it. This is why I love David. Complexities and all. Challenges and all. I love David. Because David addressed his hunger first. David. He's got to have other tools and he's got to have other help. But David said, I have to deal with my hunger first, because he knew he did not have the strength to fight on empty. Somebody hear me. On this Sunday, there are too many of us that have been trying to fight, trying to survive on spiritual empty.
And it is impossible. It's impossible. They say fake it till you make it. You'll only do that so long. Because the devil can smell the fake from 10 miles away. He knows when you've not really prayed. He knows when your worship is just a form and it is denying the power of God that it deserves. I cannot fight on empty. I cannot do this on it. That was Samson. Samson, the Bible said that he wist not. He didn't even realize that the anointing, the blessing, the presence of God had lifted off of him. The Bible said he just went out and shook himself as he had many other times and expected the power to be there. But guess what? It was not there. How many Samsons are in this room? We just come Sunday and we shake ourselves one more time and we go through the motions, and because we can clap on the 2 and the 4, because we know the words to the song, because some of these verses sound familiar to us, we just clap and smile along. But on the inside, we are spiritually empty. I'm calling somebody to the table today. I'm calling somebody to come and dine today. I'm calling somebody to come and eat this Holy Ghost food that is being served, sir, because surviving would be one thing. Surviving would be one thing, but we're trying to fight battles. Trying to fight for our families. Trying to fight battles on empty. The truth is, 2020 emptied us. 2020 emptied. I heard a preacher say, and I need to go back and study it, because I don't want to quote, this is not in my notes, I don't want to try to quote something from memory that I'm going to get wrong, but it was so profound what he said, that 2020 was the problem, and now 2021 is the actual test. We're taking the test to see if we learned anything in 2020. Some of the battles that we are facing right now and some of the challenges that we are facing right now, it's questions like, are you just going to slip out? Are you just going to let your faith just kind of waffle when adversity comes? Is church going to be optional? Is the presence of God going to be optional? Am I just going to take Easy Street because I've got online available to me? Or am I going to do the work and make the investment to get into the house of the Lord? And now that David has dealt with his hunger, he is looking for a sword. I've got an enemy to fight. I've got an addiction to conquer. I've got a habit to break. Ahimelech, thank you for that unordinary bread, man, that hit the spot. That was awesome. Now, do you have a sword? Do you have a weapon? Do you have a spear somewhere in this sanctified church? And the priest essentially says, I don't have an ordinary sword. I mean, we don't usually keep weapons here in the house. Don't believe that in 2021. We don't usually keep weapons here at the church, but there so happens to be this one sword here, but it's not an ordinary sword, David. In fact, it's the sword that you took from Goliath after your slingshot took him down. It's the sword that you lifted off of that 9-foot-tall giant. And after that rock and rag knocked him down, you picked up that sword that was too heavy for you, somehow got it up over your head, and you cut Goliath's head off. I don't have an ordinary sword, but I do have that sword. That's what I've got here in the house. You know why? Because sometimes in your lowest moments, God will remind you of your past victory. Sometimes times in your darkest night, God will remind you what he's done in your life, how he's worked in your life, how he's moved in your life, how he's healed and helped and broken through and made the difference in your life. I don't have an ordinary sword. I don't have ordinary bread. I don't have an ordinary sword, but I've got a sword that you have seen before and used before and experienced before, because God is helping us to remember how we got through that crisis. Remember the weapons of worship that you use. Remember the prayer intercession that you use. Remember how successful you were with that sword. Nothing ordinary about those weapons. And David said, you're right. There is none like it. Give it to me. There's so much more to this story. It's incredible. I'm still in chapter 21. It's just 15 verses long, I think. There's so much more to the story, because David leaves with his unordinary bread. And he goes with his unordinary sword and keeps running. He's on the run. He's hiding. He's trying to get away from Saul, who wants to kill him. But because David is confused and David is in distress and David is somewhat disoriented, the Bible said that David ended up in Gath. You know where Gath is? That's where Goliath is from. He ends up in the neighborhood of Goliath. And all of Goliath's cousins, who are still mad that David killed their hero, are looking at him. And the Bible said they recognized him. They knew who he was. I would imagine his wanted poster has been hanging in the post office for many years. And they've seen it day after day after day. And in stumbles this man named David into their camp, onto their street. You know why? Because running will take you to some strange places. Stop running. Stop running. Let me tell you something. Your enemy knows exactly who you are, even when you're living like you don't. We'll say it again. Your enemy knows exactly who you are, even when you're living like you don't. That's why he keeps fighting. That's why he keeps challenging. So David, This is what the Bible says. David began acting like a crazy man. The Bible said in verse 13 that he pretended to be insane in their presence. Starts acting like a madman. He's drawing on walls. He's drooling down his beard. Running around, talking out of his head. You know why? Because running will have you acting like someone you're not. It'll have you living like someone you're not destined to live like, thinking like you're not called to think like. Stop running. I don't know who I'm preaching to on this platform, in these hallways, front row, back row. Stop running. Stop running. Stop running from who God has called you to be and what God has called you to do. He's acting like a madman, hoping that if they think he's insane, I can't be who I want to be, because if I am who I want to be, I'll get canceled. If I live like a Christian at work, they'll make fun of me. I won't be in the cool club. If I let my school friends know that really there was a call on my teenage life, they'll bully me. So I act crazy just like them, hoping they'll just look another direction. But what's powerful is when you look at Psalm 56, David was always praying, he was always worshiping, he was a worshiper at the end of every day, no matter what was happening in his life, David was a worshiper, and he writes the 56th Psalm while he is in this place, running, can't be who he's called to be, hoping they will not kill him. David writes this psalm. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God, I trust and am not afraid. What can these mere mortals do to me? He's getting his confidence back. He said, all day long, they twist my words. Their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps. They're hoping to take my life because of their wickedness. Do not let them escape in your anger, God. Bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Do you even know what I'm going through or what I'm feeling? You see all of this complexity. While he's praying, but he said, then my enemies, it will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Nothing ordinary. No ordinary bread. No ordinary weapon. No ordinary worship. David said, I'm going to praise you. Even in the midst of this, I trust. Would you stand with me across the room? Thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh. If you feel comfortable, just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to miss my unordinary moment. I don't want to miss my unordinary moment, my bread of presence. Take a deep breath where you are. Breathe his presence in. Inhale his peace, his healing. Let it fill up your being. Let it fill up your life. When you inhale that oxygen, it goes to your brain, it goes to your blood, goes to your extremities. I'm inhaling the presence of the Lord. It's going to my mind. It's going to my emotion. It's going to my body. From my head to my toe. I'm helped in the presence of the Lord. I'm healed in the presence of the Lord. Nothing ordinary. Nothing ordinary. Nothing ordinary. Nothing ordinary. Not going to be anything ordinary about your healing or about your miracle. Nothing ordinary about your breakthrough. It's God and God alone. Father, I pray for people in this room today. For hearts, for brokenness, for pain, for problems we face. The circumstances that are overwhelming us. The issues that are affecting us today, Lord, today, today, today I am healed, today I am set free, today I am delivered. Nothing ordinary, nothing ordinary, nothing ordinary. If you need a miracle in your life, I want to invite you to step out of your seat and make way to this altar today. We got plenty of room. You can distance out. Make yourself completely comfortable. But if you need a miracle, emotional, physical, spiritual, if you feel like you're living on empty, could be any one of these people I'm describing today. You feel like you're living on empty today. Feel like you need some bread of presence today. I invite you, come, 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 come. Let God do a work in your life. It's not just two or three or four. It's a whole bunch of folk in this room that ought to say, you know what, I feel drawn. I feel drawn to the presence of the Lord. I feel moved. I feel prodded and pushed to get closer to God in this season, not to miss my moment, not to miss what God has for me. If you need salvation in your life, I invite you to come, come, come. We normally will pray right where you're sitting, but you know what? God may be asking you to take a step today. No one's going to bother you. No one's going to bug you. No one's going to single you out or embarrass you. But if you want more of God, His presence, His power, if you want to be filled with His Spirit today, the Lord would love to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord.
Upon your love.
I'm hungry, Lord.
It is a